The Gospel of our Lord according to Mark, chapter 15 in the Bible, starting at verse 33.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The death of Jesus. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lima sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling to Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion, who stood facing him, saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Here ends the lesson.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let me pray for us as we hear from God's word. Heavenly Father, help us to hear for the first time or for the thousandth time what your beloved Son has done on the cross and what it means for us. Help us to see what the centurion saw and, like him, come to faith in your Son who died to bring us to you. And for your glory we ask. Amen. Well, when you walk into a building or a space or a room or even maybe some outdoor setting, the furniture, as well as the people present, will tell you something about what to expect. You turn up to a friend's house, maybe it's a Saturday afternoon, you can see some smoke rising from the backyard. You go through, it's not a fire, it's a barbecue. You can see the tables laid, you can see your friends and so forth. Or if you walk into a dark room and there's rows of seats and a very large screen, you're in a cinema. If there's somebody holding a small torch in a large room with lots of rows, you're in a theatre. And you're going to see a play. As you came into the space, what did the furniture tell you about what was going on today? You might recognise this as a baptism font. We're going to be having a baptism. This large table tells you that we are going to be having a meal of some sort in a moment. Well, when we heard our passage from Mark's Gospel, what do we see? What are we to expect? What items of furniture are there and who is present? Well, there is a cross on which Jesus is dying and dies. There is a curtain which is torn from top to bottom. And there is a centurion who stands before Jesus and confesses, "Truly, this man was God's son." So what do they all mean? Let's find out. And let's hear the history about the curtain, the cross, and the centurion. In the city of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, there was a temple. And although the people of Jerusalem believed that God was everywhere, God had created all things, and he was all-powerful and all-present, they also believed he was right in the middle of the temple, in what was called the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctum, the sanctuary where God had chosen to put his presence. But no one was ever allowed into God's presence, except a single man once a year on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Only he, after rigorous rituals and cleansings, would go into this most holy place to offer up sacrifices for the sins of God's people. Only once a year, only one man who'd been appointed for that task, but he could never remain there. He could never remain there. He could only go in and then come out once he'd done his job. Why could he not remain there? Why could nobody else go into the Holy of Holies? Because no one could ever make themselves clean enough to come and be with God. God is so holy, so pure, so good. How could you and I enter into his presence? He is like the sun. The sun gives life. The sun gives light that reveals a truth. But get too close and we would be consumed. If there is darkness within us, if we tell lies, if we have unrighteous thoughts, who are we to stand before God who knows the thoughts of our hearts? And so God's place was blocked off by a curtain, much bigger than this piece of material. This curtain in the temple was 10 centimetres thick, that's as wide as my hand, and 20 metres high, that's at least 5 times higher than this ceiling space. Now, if God is on the other side of a thick, impenetrable curtain, and you cannot see past it, you cannot hear what goes on, you cannot go past it, what does it tell you about God and you? You are cut off from him. It's a big no entry sign. It is too dangerous for you to come into God's presence. So the people who lived in Jerusalem were special because God had chosen to live amongst them in the temple, put his presence in the Holy of Holies. But though he was so close, they also knew that they were cut off from him. There was a curtain they could never go past. But when you read about Jesus in the gospel accounts, you realize that Jesus never had a curtain between him and God. He was always super close to him. He was always talking to him. He was always going off to a quiet spot to pray and spend time with his Heavenly Father. He was always pure, always good, always righteous to a degree that we cannot really always fathom. He always loved God and he always loved his neighbor, putting them always before himself. He was God's son. And at his baptism, where he identifies with the human race, the Father had spoken from the heavens and said, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Aren't they all the words that a child wants to hear from their parent? "You are my child, the beloved. I love you." Jesus had this wonderful assurance that his Heavenly Father loved him. There was no curtain between Jesus and God. But in the passage before us, in Mark 15, Jesus is on a cross. What has happened? Why? Why is he the one who always loves God and always loves his neighbour on a cross? Why has he been cut off from the people that he serves? Why has he been cut off from God, his Father? All his friends had abandoned him when he'd been arrested. One of his closest friends, Peter, had denied Jesus 3 times, saying, "I do not know this man." He'd even cursed Jesus in what he said. "I do not know him. I do not know him. I do not know him." The Jewish leaders, Jesus was a Jew, his own leaders rejected him and condemned him to die. The Roman leaders who had jurisdiction over Judea at the time and were the only ones who were allowed to kill criminals, the Roman leader Pontius Pilate finds Jesus innocent but yet still condemns him to please the Jewish crowd. And then everyone ridicules him. The soldiers mock Jesus. "Hail, King of the Jews," they cry. They put a purple robe on him after having flogged him. They put a crown of thorns onto his head. everyone ridicules him. They say, "You who would destroy God's temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." Everyone shames Jesus to make sure he feels as cut off from his own people and from his own God as possible. They say, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now so that we may see and believe." But all this is nothing compared to the worst feeling of all. Jesus is cut off from God, his own beloved Father. Abandoned, God has left him behind a thick, impenetrable curtain. And suddenly he screams, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." People think he's crying out to Elijah to save him, because Eloi for God sounds similar to Eli for Elijah. A man runs to get a sedative, this sour wine vinegar on a sponge, a stimulant for his torment. But that is not what torments Jesus. When he's on the cross, he doesn't cry, my people, why have you forsaken me? Or the pain that I'm going through, why? He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you cut me off from you? Why is he the only one who always loves God and always loves his neighbor on the cross? Last Sunday we saw that Jesus chooses to go to the cross. Why does he choose to go to the cross? Why is he being cut off when he has done nothing to deserve being cut off? But immediately after he dies, did you hear what happened? Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When Jesus died, the furniture in the temple changed. The curtain was ripped top to bottom. 10 centimeters thick, 20 meters high, torn from top to bottom. What do you think that means? People are not cut off from God anymore. And this is the most amazing part of his death. When Jesus was cut off from God, when he found himself on our side of the curtain, it didn't only break him, it broke the curtain, top to bottom. For us all, God would not tolerate the curtain anymore. It wasn't torn from the bottom up, as if any human being could actually do that. This was God doing the tearing from heaven to earth so that we might go through the Son to God in heaven. God tore the curtain because he could not bear to be cut off from his beloved Son who was hanging on our side of the curtain. On our side because he'd come to die in our place. For all our moral failures, for all our impurities, for all our unholiness, for all our darkness. On our side, where he'd come to wash us clean of the stain of sin by his blood. And because Jesus had now paid the infinite debt our sin and rebellion owed, God would not allow there to be a curtain anymore between himself and us. Do you see what this means? You have access to God. Because of your sin, you could never go in. But now, through the Lord Jesus, anyone can. Jesus had said, this is in John's Gospel, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And when the curtain tears, we see that he speaks the truth. He makes the way. He is the way to God. The curtain tearing isn't an unexplainable, dramatic event it has meaning. It is a life-changing revelation that through Jesus, the way to God is now open. And so perfect is his sacrifice for our sins that no other sacrifice ever needs to be made. Before Jesus, that single man once a year could go into God's presence and then come back out. Only once a year. And then the next year somebody else went in and went back out. And then the year after they did again and again and again. It was relentless. Jesus' sacrifice is so perfect, no other sacrifice for our sins needs to be made. The price has been paid, the debt has been covered, the ledger has been cleared completely. So Jesus remains in God's presence because his sacrifice is so perfect and acceptable for our sins. Through him, we have direct access to God. God can be your perfect heavenly Father. You never need to be cut off from him ever again. Every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, which we will in a little while, we are reminded of this glorious reality. That we are not performing a sacrifice as if we could offer anything up to God that would make him accept us. We are not going through the motions so that he blesses us. He has already blessed us through the Lord Jesus, and so we receive his grace freely, what he has given. Jesus had said with his disciples before he died, he'd taken bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you." And when he's on the cross, he is broken for us. And the heavens are torn apart and the curtain is torn. Through Jesus, you have access to God. Have you responded to him? You can. God has opened the door for you to enjoy his presence. But you might doubt that God would accept you. Doesn't he realize what I'm like? What if I've rejected him my whole life? I've just said no to him. I want nothing to do with him. What if I've never thought about him? That's another way of rejecting him. If you doubt his love, and this is something we all do at times, because we fail, we do the wrong thing, we say things we know we shouldn't say, immediately after saying it, we go, "I've done it again." If we doubt God's love, look at the centurion and listen to what he says. "Now, when the centurion who stood facing Jesus saw that in this way Jesus breathed his last, he said, 'Truly, this man was God's son.'" Well, who was this centurion? It's the first time we've met him. He's just turned up all of a sudden. And he's standing before Jesus on the cross, and he sees him breathes his last. Now, this centurion would have been a hard man. He was not an aristocrat born into the right family who'd been made an officer in the army. He'd been enlisted and had risen up through the ranks, serving Rome. And to rise up through the ranks, serving the Roman Empire, you would need to do what soldiers do best, which is to kill people by the sword. This centurion was a hard, tough man. He had killed many. He had crucified many. That was part of their job. He had seen countless people die. He was maybe present when Jesus was arrested, then when Jesus was flogged, then when Jesus was mocked, and certainly when Jesus is crucified. Here in the centurion, we have a man of death. He's also not Jewish, so he's in spiritual darkness. A man who worshipped other false gods. A man who would only call the emperor, his emperor, a son of God. And yet, he of all people, the last person you'd ever think on earth to make such a confession, he sees the way Jesus dies and he says, "Truly, this man is the son of God." Surpassing the emperor, like eclipses him completely. The last person imaginable sees the way that Jesus dies and confesses he is God's Son. Now, this is a climax in Mark's historical eyewitness account. The very first verse of Mark reads, "The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Jesus has always known who he is, but no one else has said it. They've said it mockingly when they were crucifying him. Demons and evil spirits recognized Jesus and were terrified because he'd come to do away with them. Jesus' closest disciples, they didn't get who Jesus was. They kept on saying, Who is this man who stands before us? And they'd all abandoned him. The Jews had condemned him, the Romans had crucified him, the passers-by had shamed him. But now this centurion sees the passion and death of Jesus on that cross, and by God's divine revelation, with the eyes of faith, confesses, "This is the Son of God." This hard, dark man, light breaks through as he sees Jesus die on the cross for him. His hard heart is broken and remade as he stands in awe before what has taken place. The curtain torn from top to bottom, God has opened the way for you to know him. God to open the eyes of centurion, to see who Jesus is, the Son of God, and to see that he has died for him, shows us that anyone can come to God through Jesus. No one ever needs to be cut off from him. Receive this good news. Rejoice in it if you have. And let's pray. Lord Jesus, we stand in awe that you should endure such torment, should be forsaken as you are, by us and by God. And yet you did so in order to make the way for us to be able to follow you. Help us to realize the darkness in us, that we need you, the light, to wash away. Show us, Lord, that we might follow you, that we might praise you as we ought, and that you may transform us by your Spirit to the everlasting glory of your holy name. Amen.